Coming today on Negotiate Your Best Life with Rebecca Zung.
And I think that at an early age, I did develop a lot of shame. And part of it was you know, organically, I think, a response to actual experiences. I just got bullied a lot. I've kind of stopped trying to figure out, what made me a target? Because it really doesn't matter. Because the reality is bullying is about the bully. It's not about you.
So the big questions are these. How can we navigate and negotiate every situation in our lives, in our career, in our businesses, in our relationships, and even with ourselves for our own self-worth? In other words, what if you could win every time and have no losers? Let's face it, we're not negotiating just to buy a car or for a pay raise. We are negotiating for living in every aspect of our lives. How can we do that powerfully, successfully, and victoriously? Those are the questions, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Rebecca Zung, and welcome to the time where you negotiate your best life.
Welcome to another episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. I am Rebecca Zung, and I am really, really excited and interested myself in talking with this guest, which is, he's an entrepreneur. He's done all kinds of amazing things. And I'm going to actually let him tell you a little bit more about his background and the creation of Millionaire Mindset and all the things that he's overcome. And his name is Jeff Lerner. And thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Rebecca. I'm excited.
Thank you. So tell us a little bit about what you're doing now and what your journey has been, your background to getting to where you are.
Yes, thank you. I'd love to. I'm an only child, so I'm always happy to talk about myself. what I do now is try to share with people what I consider to just be some really good news, which is that in the world we live in today, there are tools and opportunities and you know, true like economic fundamentals that allow people to really create any life they want. And I teach it through my company called Entre. We have a community called Entre Nation. We have an educational institution called Entre Institute. And it's basically just a large community of learners, no pun intended, and what I call awesome life seekers, people that are like, wherever I'm at, I want more awesome. And for a lot of people, that starts with money, but you know, it's hard to have you're never going to have a life better than what you can afford, but it extends way beyond that. Our core tenet really leans on what I call the three P's: physical, personal, and professional excellence. And we have a high standard, and we inspire and empower and educate and equip people to push for that high standard across all those aspects of life and ultimately create a life by their design. And it's not some hokey, feel-good, you know, talking point platitude to say stuff, you know, like you go to like an MLM meeting and there's a lot of rah-rah. It's like very, and I'm not anti-MLM, but that's just a good example of how those cultures emerge. But it's like a very tactical and realistic way of being in the world, because the internet just creates so much economic opportunity that's decoupled from the traditional time and energy sacrifice you have to make to earn income from a job. You know, you just can do things now that were inconceivable 30 years ago. And so that's what I teach. As far as how I got into it, I was a struggling jazz musician all through my 20s. I majored in music composition with an emphasis in jazz piano performance in college. They didn't actually have a jazz piano major. And all through my 20s, and the reason I got into that is because I wanted, the same thing, that independence, autonomy, kind of a lifestyle that I engineered. And even though being a jazz musician didn't pay me very well, it still gave me a lot more freedom than all my friends and all the, you know, the people I grew up with who were, you know, they made a lot more money, but they were going to have to, whatever they were doing, they were going to be locked into for 20 to 40 years to come out the other side. Meanwhile, I was like, if I wanted to go to the zoo one afternoon, I could just go on a Tuesday or something. And so that's what always attracted me to it. But eventually I got tired of being broke. I got tired of the realization that I was never going to, at least for me, I was never going to be able to have a family and provide for a family in, you know, both financially and also just structurally and with my schedule and as a musician. I burned through two marriages as a piano player and just realized like, this isn't ultimately the life of happiness that I think I'm designed for, that I naturally long for. And so I was always trying to start businesses in my 20s, you know, traditional businesses. I tried a couple brick and mortar restaurants that they gave me these big bank loans for that they never should have, but the world was insane in 2006 and anybody could get a loan. And I ended up in a ton of debt. I ended up way upside down, kind of broke, desperate and depressed. And I went on the internet in November 2008. I went online and I spent my last couple $1,000s on this affiliate marketing training and some coaching. And thankfully it was the real deal. And I was able to not only dig out of almost $500,000 in debt related to those two franchise restaurants, and I paid off almost $500,000 in 18 months using just affiliate marketing on the internet. So here I was, this like, you know, still broke, kind of like frazzled, depressed, despondent piano player. My wife, that was my second marriage. She was like done. She was leaving, but I was having to live at her parents' house because I had no money and I lost my apartment. So it was like this weird existence where, you know, I was living with in my soon to be ex-in-laws who were not my biggest fans. But in 18, yeah, and I know you're a divorce attorney, so you probably appreciate what that was like. But in 18 months, I was able to pay off that debt and emerge with really a brand new life. And that, so I guess that was by early 2010 that I was liberated from that debt. And since then, I've just been doing digital marketing and making a great life for myself online. And a couple of years ago, I decided, you know what, it's time to tell the world what these type of opportunities have done for me and actually show them how to do it.
Yeah, I think that's perfect. And I totally get the idea of, you know what, I'm like broke, desperate, depressed. I mean, I wasn't like completely broke when I started my practice, but I was actually in a place of like, all right, I'm sick of living paycheck to paycheck. You know, this was a long time ago when I started my own practice. And even as a lawyer, I was working for other people. And so I was, you know, not in a position of making the money that I wanted to make. And so I was like, that's it. I'm not doing this anymore. And it's really like a shift in your mindset, you know, I think.
Yeah. And for me, it was the liberation that comes from being at rock bottom. Where you essentially rock bottom gives you permission to change that you might not otherwise give yourself if there was at least a few good things to hold on to. Like, well, I don't want to rock the boat because I still have my kids, or I still have my, you know, my job that at least pays the bills, or I still have my health. Like, I had none of it. So I was like, all bets are off. I can do anything here. And I was able to go, you know, full bore into digital marketing, and I already knew how to spend a lot of time at a keyboard. That was my piano. And now I just switched to a computer keyboard and figured out how to make really good money. But what I have found, and I suspect this will be, you know, relevant to your audience, because I've listened to your podcast and checked it out. And I know you kind of deal a lot with like narcissism and people that are going through life trauma and turmoil and stuff. Here's what I've found a lot through my emergence in the last couple of years as an educator and an influencer online, is there's this really cool dynamic on the internet where you're not just figuring out a new way to make a living. And it's not even just on the internet. I mean, the other thing I do a fair amount of is real estate, which is, you know, technically not an online business, although it's so inflected by the internet now. I mean, you can't do real estate without spending a lot of time online now. So I kind of consider it like a hybrid of a digital and an analog business. But anyway, what I found is as you start to really develop as an entrepreneur, it's not just a new way to make money. And it's not just a way to make money that has more potential upside. It's literally this opportunity to create or manifest as, you know, not to get all woo-woo, but like literally you start to become whoever you want. And what I've really found is the more I sort of project, because on the internet, you kind of put out to the world whatever you want, right? You know, you send emails to your list, you maybe make some YouTube videos, you know, depending on what type of business it is, you can kind of do whatever you want with it. But the more I've very intentionally projected what I consider my best self out to the internet, like my vulnerable, masculine, feminine, balanced, holistic, you know, high standards version of Jeff, right? The more I've really like said, hey, this is who I want to be. And so this is who I'm going to build my online presence around. It creates this momentum in your life where like you actually get better. Like a lot of times I find like your immediate surroundings, they're not always advocates for your greatness. You know, everybody's got their own interests and they're trying to get their needs met. But online, you can just kind of declare to the world, this is who I am. And you grow into it. And it's so cool because I haven't just made a lot of money on the internet. I'm a better provider. I'm a better father. I'm a better husband than I ever knew how to be before. I'm a better communicator. I have better health. I take better care of myself. I'm more emotionally mature. And it's all through this process of building out the life that I wanted using, you know, new economy tools. Maybe it's hard to explain, but it's really cool.
So I think part of what you're talking about, though, in your metamorphosis and your becoming is also goes back to how you learned how to do this as a child. And I want to talk about that because the episode is called Overcoming Obstacles and Bullying. Mm-hmm. And we were talking a little bit prior to the show starting that both of us were bullied as children. And both of us, I think, kind of used that experience to become people who really understood how to overcome things and how to overcome obstacles and how to overcome, you know, and become actually empowered. Mm-hmm. And it also makes us more compassionate people, I think. So talk a little bit about your background as far as you were born with a rare genetic condition. Your exposure to bullying and what happened with that.
Yeah. And I appreciate the question. You know, it can be, I think sometimes other people assume that a question like that or that going there would be uncomfortable. And, you know, at one point it would have been, but I've done a lot of therapy. And again, this whole metamorphosis has been really reconciling not only making peace, but finding joy in who I actually am.
I want you to finish answering your question, but I want to just interject. I think it's the shame factor.
Oh yeah.
And I think for me, like I had that too, you know, I wouldn't have gone around telling people that I was bullied as a kid if I hadn't gotten over mm-hmm. that shame, like that there must be something wrong with me inherently.
Right.
So, I appreciate the fact that you're saying, hey, I had a lot of therapy and I'm a better person for it. So go ahead and finish telling your story.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm a therapy junkie. I'll be going to therapy. I'll never be too healthy for therapy. I'll tell you that. But, growing up, I was born with something called Wardenburg syndrome, which it's weird because in hindsight, it really wasn't that big a deal. I mean, it's not like, so there's a few things that could have been a big deal with that condition. Like I could have been deaf. I had, you know, an uncle, for example, that was completely deaf, nerve deafness, and some other relatives with significant hearing loss. I could have had a cleft lip and cleft palate that create some real potential medical complications, but I didn't have those issues. I just, you know, if you Google Wardenburg syndrome, you'll see some kids that kind of look like I did when I was a kid. Like it's like this slightly affected, like, there's a look, you know, but kids... To a kid, finding out that you're like, quote, defective, it's crazy how you internalize and process these things. And I think that at an early age, I did develop a lot of shame. And part of it was you know, organically, I think, a response to actual experiences. I just got bullied a lot. I've kind of stopped trying to figure out, well, like, well, what made me a target? Because it really doesn't matter, because the reality is bullying is about the bully. It's not about you. And but definitely the experience of having kids at a fairly young age. I mean, I can remember it happening all the way back to preschool. Some of my earliest memories. I just kind of grew into the identity of like a targeted inferior person. And, you know, kids, and I suspect a lot of adults, well, I know a lot of adults, they can like smell that weakness. They can like feel that you've brought on or you've accepted the identity of a vulnerable person. And so they're going to leverage that for their own.
Totally. It's like they're smelling the blood in the water kind of a thing. The shark totally. Like goes right to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that happened to me a lot. I mean, I remember it happening at summer camp. I remember it happening at school. I remember it happening in preschool. I remember it happening at the football games. I remember it happening in the hallways. And like, you know, I don't need to relive all the details, but I mean, it was bullying. It was name calling. It was physical shoving. It was just, you know, crap that kids do, right?
And it's so painful though. It's so painful.
Yeah, it really is. And coupled with the genetic disorder, it really became something that I had a picture of myself at a cellular level, literally at a chromosomal level. I just was like, oh, well, I don't fit. I don't belong. I'm different. I'm alien. I'm foreign. I'm defective. And there was a permanence about it. Wherever I go, whatever I do, there I will be. And there, that's who I'll be. You know, because it's literally something I carry around in my genes. And I mean, now I realize how untrue that is, thanks to thousands of hours of therapy, but like, it's so real and it's so true and it's so boundless. It affects every aspect of your life. I had coping mechanism. My number one coping mechanism was food. So I struggled with weight a lot in my teens and even in my 20s. But I kind of had this like unhealthy reactive thing where I would like eat too much and I'd get fat and then I'd get super pissed at myself and I'd go work out maniacally for 6 months and get in really good shape, but it was not healthy. It was, you know, food was controlling me just as much when I wasn't eating as when I was, because I was still thinking about not doing it all the time, right? It still had a hold of my mind. So anyway, that was kind of my journey. And yeah, I think that, you know, what really happened for me that was the powerful shift was in therapy when I realized that this really was my identity, that my identity was that I'm just like, I'm so different. I'm a foreign species almost, like I don't belong. And I decided, okay, and it's when I came to terms with that actually belonging isn't that great of a thing in the first place. You know, when we say, oh, well, somebody's a, you know, they're just part of the herd, or, oh, they're just a follower, or they just, you know, they're constantly fitting in. That's what they do. They fit in. Like, we're not speaking compliments. We're not talking about their greatness when we talk about how well people assimilate. So it's like, why am I devaluing the fact that I'm different? What if being different, You know who else is different? Abe Lincoln was different. Martin Luther King Jr. was different. Elon Musk is different. Like, being different can be wonderful too, you know? And so it kind of became this switch in my mind. It's like, hey, I'm different. I'll never be like everyone else. Frankly, I never could be, and no one else could be either. So I'm just going to go with it. I'm just going to be different. And I'm going to develop my own philosophy and my own methodology about what's important to me. And I'm gonna work in that direction. I think that's one of the reasons I became a musician, was so it was like, you know, why wouldn't somebody have become a musician? Because they're worried about what other people would think, or they're worried about what other people would say, or they're worried about making a non-traditional choice. I did it because I got very comfortable with the idea that, you know what, even if I went and got a job wherever you would get a job in college or something, even if I went and sacked groceries, or even if I tried to be part of the mainstream, I'd still never fit in because I'm just different. I've already internalized that. So why bother trying to fit in at all? If I want to play music, I'm just going to go play music. And then now, if I want to be a digital marketer, I'm just going to be a digital marketer. When I became a digital marketer, I had people tell me that it was a scam, and that I was, and then I even had people at a certain point say, I must be a scam because the only people making money online are people that are ripping people off. And normally, I think to a lot of people, those types of comments would have deterred them from pursuing what they wanted out of life. But for me, it was like, listen, I'm already so different. I'm never going to be like everyone else. So what do people's opinions and judgments really matter? All they're doing is pointing out the obvious, which is that I'm not like them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
Coming up, more on Negotiate Your Best Life with Rebecca Zung.
What really flipped for me was when I just said, the solution to this is not to be more like them or more like the way they would want me to be. The solution to this is to actually embrace the extent to which I am different. I'll never be acceptable to these people because they're not acceptable to themselves. And I just got to go with that. And the more energy I focus on figuring out who I actually am, who I actually want to be, and engineering my life, it's actually ironic because in a way, it's almost becoming more, I don't know if the word would be selfish, but becoming better at taking care of my own self-interest.
Is there something that's interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? BetterHelp Online Counseling is there for you. You can connect with a professional counselor in a safe, private environment. It's online or it can be through phone, chat, or text. They help you with any issue that you have an issue with, such as depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, trauma, basically anything you can think of. If you're unhappy, you can get a new counselor at any time. They're available worldwide. Financial aid is available for those who qualify. Best of all, it's truly affordable. Listeners of Negotiate Your Best Life get 10% off your first month with the discount code BREAKINGFREE. So why not get started today? BetterHelp.com/BREAKINGFREE. Simply fill out the questionnaire and get started. That's BetterHelp.com/BREAKINGFREE.
Are you struggling with how to negotiate and win? Maybe you're dealing with a personality that's particularly challenging, like a narcissist or other high conflict personality, and you're feeling powerless. Make sure to download my free Win My Negotiation cheat sheet at www.winmynegotiation.com.
Take a listen to our archive, where you can listen to more episodes that show you the path to how to negotiate your best life.
Then the next thing he said is, and I understand that the wife has an alimony claim. Well, that was it. Just the word alimony had him like going nuts. So he just started, he stood up, veins popping out of his forehead, screaming at everybody, screaming at the mediator.
And now we return to today's show.
I mean, I kind of had the same thing with you know, my bullying experience. And the reason why I wanted to talk about bullying, just so that I can, you know, bring it home for my audience, my listeners, is that, you know, narcissists are they're bullies. They're bullies in grown-up form. Mm-hmm. And if you're being bullied today as a victim or a target of narcissists, it's really no different than, you know, when you're 8-10 years old on the playground being bullied by a group of other kids. I mean, that feeling is the same of, you know, maybe there is something wrong with me. Maybe there's validity in what they're saying about I'm not good enough, or I'm not doing this well enough, or I'm causing this person pain, or something else is wrong with me inherently. Like inherently there's something wrong with me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I grew up to understand that it's not like there's not inherently something wrong with you. It's not like they can isolate the gene for there's something wrong and defective with your soul. Right. You know what I mean? It doesn't, that's not true. I mean, it's just so not true. And I know for me, how I kind of overcame it was I remember sitting there as they were like calling me names and you know, for being Chinese and whatever else they came up with. It was like, I'm going to show all of you that I'm not this loser that you think that I am. I'm going to show the world that, and I think a lot of what I became was kind of part of that, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then eventually kind of realizing, okay, actually if I'm able to achieve all of this, maybe it's not just me showing these people. Maybe it actually is that I have these talents or whatever, you know, that there isn't something inherently defective with me. You know, so I think that that's really important for my community of people who are dealing with narcissists to understand that you know, bullying is what's happening to them. You know, narcissists are bullies. And so how can you, what's like the advice that you would give to these people as far as like, you know, turning this adversity into triumph and getting past all of that?
I would say, you know, two things that really helped me and you know, I'm probably the last guy that should or desires to, you know, give advice, but I can certainly say what my experience was. First of all, and I suspect this applies, you know, it's funny you're talking about narcissists in a way. All kids are kind of narcissists. That's part of being a child. Like you're extremely your only experience of the world is kind of a small selfish experience when you're a kid, because it's all based around getting your needs met. You're completely dependent. And you know, even the way the human brain evolves, it's not until your early 20s that you really, you know, the concepts of delayed consequences, empathy, putting yourself into other people's experience, you know, those qualities in the brain, at least from my education, don't really crystallize until your early 20s. So like all kids are inherently fairly selfish. And so, you know, I guess what finally happened for me is, and especially as a teen, but I suspect even as an adult and dealing with a narcissist, essentially what they're trying to do is control you. They're threatened by the extent to which you're not like them or to which you aren't complementing what they want in their life. And so they try to shame it, to change it, to control, to get you to be just so, right? And in a way, that's what kids are doing too. They're like, oh, well, you don't dress like us. You don't listen to the music like us. You don't look like us. You don't talk like us. And somehow that's a threat to us. And
Or by pushing you down, they look more powerful.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And what really flipped for me was when I just said, the solution to this is not to be more like them or more like the way they would want me to be. The solution to this is to actually embrace the extent to which I am different. I'll never be acceptable to these people, because they're not acceptable to themselves. And I just got to go with that. And the more energy I focus on figuring out who I actually am, who I actually want to be, and engineering my life, it's actually ironic, because in a way it's almost becoming more, I don't know if the word would be selfish, but becoming better at taking care of my own self-interest was the solution to being bullied by selfish people. And just going, you know what? I'm going to go with this. Not I'm going to go with being kept down, but I will go with being pushed away. I'll go over there. I'll go in my corner and I'll build out the most amazing version of myself. And I don't need their acceptance and I don't need their permission.
Right.
And most of all, I don't need to be like them or the way they want me to be.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I remember, the first time I was on, you know, back when I was just starting to be on national television and doing a bunch of shows, and I was on Dr. DeBrew. And one of my elementary school Facebook friends shared it on her page. Like, look at my friend from elementary school. Mm-hmm. She's on Dr. DeBrew. And one of the girls who was like the queen bully actually commented on the post and said, "Oh, congratulations, Rebecca. We always knew you were going to be amazing," and all this stuff. And I remember reading it, like blinking, like, what? And part of me was like kind of satisfied with that. Like, yeah, see what I became, like, despite you. But then the bulk of me was like, and I actually don't even really care what you think, you know, at this point in my life, you know. I mean, I had evolved enough that at that point it really didn't even matter to me. So I knew at that point that there had been a fair amount of growth, you know. So what I want to have you do is just talk about, because a lot of the people who I'm dealing with who are in these narcissistic relationships feel trapped financially. And they really don't know where to go. They feel squeezed. They feel like there's nothing that they can do. And here they have access to a computer. They certainly have access to internet. So what would you tell them is the first thing to do? You talk about a millionaire mindset. How would you have them get there?
Yeah. It is so powerful, the opportunities that are out there. And for me, and this may be a stretch, but it's my experience and my perspective. I always felt like there was kind of almost a narcissistic element to having a job, to working for someone else. Because if you think about what's a narcissist? A narcissist is someone who wants to control. They're going to use various ways to control you. They want to control your time. They want to control where you go. They want to control how you get access to money. And they want to demand that you be the way they want you to be in exchange for the freedoms of those things. Didn't I just describe most jobs? Right? And so, in a way, it's actually the same solution. Like, hey, if I want to create financial independence and location freedom and autonomy and economic independence, it's actually kind of the same strategy to free yourself from a job and free yourself from a narcissist, because they're both trying to control you.
Right.
And I will say, I don't think I've ever thought about it in these terms before, but I love it. And I'm totally going to keep talking about it.
I love it.
Is your job a narcissist that just wants to bully and control you? Come to Entre Institute. But it really is true. And so, you know, I think the problem that a lot of people have, I say the problem, I think where a lot of people's experience of going online and trying to, you know, create a different financial path for themselves, I think where it goes awry for a lot of people is they go online thinking that it's about finding the right opportunity or the right program or the right system or the right website or the right platform. And they don't, you know, nobody tells them, because it's not as sexy to say this, but to go, it's not about the right anything. It's not about the right anything external. It's about developing the right things internally, which are entrepreneurial mindset, confidence, the ability to make decisions and stick to them, in extreme consistency, and just in general, building the right set of skills. It's an educational issue, not an opportunity issue. And so, you know, what I've tried to do is to have that more, I guess, more honest and reasonable conversation with people that says, look, you can learn this from Entre Institute, or you can, you know, if you've got the time, you can learn it on YouTube. I mean, if you watch 1,000 videos, 900 of them will probably be garbage and 100 of them will be the right stuff. Or you can come to us where we've already kind of curated that. But either way, the point is you got to get these skills. You got to learn how to write some decent copy and get people to want to take action based on your words. You got to learn some basic technology and how to connect a few things. And there's tools that make it a million times easier now than it was when I started, but you still got to know how to, like, connect a sales funnel and have a certain type of page that leads to a sales video that leads to a checkout cart that's integrated with a payment processor. Like, you know, there's some basic stitching that you have to put together to do this. And you have to learn, you know, whatever, the whole host of skills that we teach. But once you have the skills, my word, you're free. You can go move to a beach in Thailand. You can go live on the steppes in Russia. You can go do mission work in Africa. And as long as you have a laptop and an internet connection and the skills, then you can go online 100 different ways and make a great living. You could promote affiliate products. You could sign up for ClickBank. You could sign up for Amazon. You could start a blog. You could build out a Shopify store. You could run Facebook ads for small local businesses anywhere in the world. You could run Instagram ads. You could build out a YouTube channel and monetize your YouTube channel. You could create a course on how to, you know, teach yourself to play chopsticks with actual chopsticks. Like, you could do anything you want. And the skills create the opportunity, not the guru or the platform or the website. And once you have that, I mean, you write your ticket in this world.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love what you're saying, and I believe in all of it, and I've done all of it, so I know it's true and I know it's real. I want to just, before I get to where can people learn more about you, because we're kind of running up on our time here, I love asking people this question, and most people don't expect it. So, and that is, what is your spirit animal?
Yeah, I'm sure I've discussed it, but I don't have like a clear, concrete answer. My immediate gut response is the wolf. I've always loved wolves. I think there's just something so hypnotic about their eyes and the fact that they operate in a pack well, but they're so fundamentally independent. I'm going to have to go with wolf.
I love it. Okay. So, the one piece of life advice that you would give to people right now who are struggling?
I mean, honestly, it's realize that the world, and this was true pre-COVID too, but it's only been accelerated. The world has fundamentally shifted. Your financial situation is how the world values your skills and what you offer and what you do. That's it. If you're not in a good financial situation, it's because whatever you're doing, either it's not a thing that's valued by the world, or the world doesn't know you do it, and so no one's calling. And everybody has the same amount of time, and most people do work hard. That's the thing. I don't care if somebody changes tires for a living, or they're an attorney, or they're a doctor, or they flip burgers, or they're a digital marketer. Like, we're all working hard. Hard work isn't, people say hard work is the key to success. It's a good start, but it's not enough. It's what are you working on? And the way the world values what you're doing. And the reality, my reality is, you know, listen, if you're a divorce attorney, that's a very specialized thing that frankly, the world's always probably going to need. And the world's always going to be willing to pay well for if you're good. Because people in those situations, there's a lot at stake and there's a lot of urgency. So therefore, there's a lot of value. But short of something like that, if people are just trying to kind of figure out what they want to do based on the needs of their life, I think you just got to focus on the right things. And for me, again, absent somebody who's got a very highly valued specialized, you know, specialty skill or trade, it's like the internet and real estate. I just really encourage people to like bring their thinking around that in order to create the wealth, and this is probably the other piece of advice to maybe at least research for yourself. I think people need way more money in the world we live in than they're really ready to acknowledge. You know, you retire. I mean, you live in Los Angeles and Manhattan Beach. Is retiring with $1 million going to be enough?
Definitely not.
Not even close.
No.
Not even close. What if your grandson has a drug problem and needs to go to $150,000 rehab or else he literally might die? Who's going to pay? Don't you want to be the grandparent that can pay for that? Like and that's where I look at the world as like, hey, it's not about all about the money. It's about what does financial independence allow you to do with your life and honing in on things to at least have some track in your life that could produce a real wealth-based outcome so that you can do all the amazing things that you were destined for and born to do. And again, I steer people to digital, the digital economy, and or real estate. Unless you are a high-priced divorce attorney or a a world-renowned cardiologist, or again, one of these specialized trades, you're probably not on a track that leads to this really awesome life outcome unless you very intentionally, conscientiously put it in place in your life, probably against the advice of a lot of other people who aren't on that same track either.
I love it. And even if you're a really good divorce attorney, which I am, you can do other things, which is what I've done, which is create a whole other thing online. Mm-hmm. Because working hard is not always where it's at, right? Where can people learn more about you?
So my name's Jeff Lerner. If you just type that into Google, you'll find a bunch of stuff. But I mean, I encourage people to probably just go to my YouTube channel. You know, it's one thing to get to know a person. It's another thing to get to know what a person knows. And on YouTube, I've literally put out hundreds of training videos where you can get a sense of me, but you can also get a sense of what I teach and what I offer and decide if it has value for you in your life. So just go on YouTube and search Jeff Lerner, or my actual channel is Jeff Lerner Official. And I would say start there.
That's perfect. I'm really excited to have gotten a chance to speak to you, get to know you. One of the things I love the most about this work that I'm doing is getting to meet amazing people like you. So thank you so much for your time and for coming on my show.
Yes, of course. And I will say I also have a show, which I think we should get you on, by the way. It's called Millionaire Secrets. It's a podcast, and I completely agree with you. The best thing about the podcast is the relationship.
Thank you.
Thanks for stopping by and listening to this episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. I'm Rebecca Zung. Check back next Monday for more inspirational pearls of wisdom. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, I'd love if you would give it a 5-star rating and tell me what you liked in a review on iTunes. Also, be sure to grab your winning negotiation cheat sheet at winmynegotiation.com. And remember, today is a perfect day to start negotiating your best life.